Give children whom you've blessed with talent like singing, playing.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Come see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, it is.
It is Wednesday morning already, and here we are. It's right now 11 o'clock, just a few seconds after, and we have a packed studio this morning with with a lot of life and energy here from some young participants today. So, David, great to have you here. You're part of the weekly team.
Yes, but I wasn't referring to me earlier as a young.
Being young.
I'm not a young participant, no. I've been around for a while.
No, we have other...
We have other youthful
others here that are young,
which are great.
Like Keith. Keith is young.
Keith is young. He's a young guy.
Yeah, he's a young guy. So we're missing Karen today.
We are, but she's with her husband who's having a little surgery.
So we want to remember and lift Kevin up in prayer. Yes. In fact, we're probably going to start out with that. We want to just, Father, we want to thank you for all of our listeners, our wonderful listeners that have joined us today for Wednesday Live. We're going to have a great day together. And we lift up Karen and Kevin. Thank you, Father, for Kevin having a real successful recovery. Thank you, Father, for touching him today in Jesus' name.
You,
amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's a minor thing, but it's an important thing.
It's critically important.
Yeah,
yes,
critically
it is.
Important. It is. All right. So, Keith, what's happening, my brother?
Good morning.
You come in here. You made it. You came in, and Connor is here.
Yeah.
And Connor, I heard you're recovering a little bit. Did you overdo it a bit this summer?
My elbow popped out of the spot it's supposed to be in with the growth plates.
Your elbow popped out a little bit, so we must be talking about throwing some balls of some sort, right? We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. All right, so you play a little baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So who's Jack? Jack showed up here, and he seemed to know who you are, and... You going to introduce Jack? Pull the mic up here so we can hear you really well. There you go.
Jack is my friend. He is great at baseball. He's playing for a summer league right now.
Okay.
And we go to the same batting cage. We hit together sometimes.
Okay.
Overall, a great person.
Awesome. Mm. How long have you known Jack?
Maybe like a month or two.
Month or two. All right. And you guys are playing. Mm-hmm. Jack, welcome. Say hello to everybody out here. Everyone wants to hear from you.
Thank you for having me. Super blessed to be here. Yeah. I've known Connor for a couple of months, just learning new ways of hitting new stuff. And he's a great ball player. He's got a lot of potential. So he may be younger, but it's good to see that, you know, how good he's doing and things I can learn from him as well. So I'm humble and blessed to be around him and Keith as well. He's a great guy. And I connected with him really well when I found out he was also a born-again Christian, just as I am. And it's just great to see that God is working in so many different ways, especially through the baseball community. So it's
that's
awesome.
Tremendous. Yeah. That's tremendous. And maybe, Jack, you'll be able to share a little more with us about your faith and the game and how you live your faith out.
Absolutely.
And Connor, you as well. So, Connor, you are the youngest one in the studio today. So we're going to give you a really hard time. Is that okay?
Yeah, sorry. It's initiation, right?
He hasn't accepted the charge yet, but that means you've got to sing a little.
That might be a problem.
Well, okay, all right. Well, okay. Maybe we can talk your dad into doing some singing or something here. That would
be
better. Okay,
too.
Okay. All right, so welcome, Keith.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so great to be here. It's always, always a blessing to be in the room with you guys, to be here. Really, it's just such a blessing.
We've had some awesome times in this
room.
We
have.
God's done a lot of really great things.
He has. You know, it's awesome the way that God moves, and it's just, you know, as a witness, you know, here we go, and somebody agrees to take Big Man Connor under his tutelage for hitting instructions.
Okay.
And then, so we go in there, and we go and see him, and then he brings Jack over. You know, he just says, I'm going to bring somebody else by. And you know, there's no coincidences with the Lord.
Right.
So, he pairs us together. He paired them together, you know, here. And we learn that Jack is a believer.
That's right? Awesome.
Yeah, we learn that Jack is a believer. And we just start talking. I have Jesus Saves on the back of my shirt as we're going to hit practice, right? So, Jack sees that. And that's what opens up the door for the conversation.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just amazing. And then the relationship that's been developing in the story that Jack has, his witness, his testimony that he has in how God and Jesus came into his life, you know, is just pretty amazing. And after we were talking, I'm like, you know, people should hear your story, you know, and hear your testimony of how he was actually healed. So, you know, that's why we're here today.
And that's awesome. Yeah. You know. That's awesome.
So, you know.
All right. So, where are we going to start? We're going to start with saying that Connor had a summer off, or were you kind of busy this summer, during the summer, Connor?
Well, I've chosen this summer to focus on hitting and fielding. I'm quitting pitching after this season due to my elbow. And so, I've just been focusing on improving my swing and improving my throwing motion.
Okay.
Although I can't throw.
So. Well, yeah, so we had at 12, right now on TV on Wide World, on what, ESPN, is the Little League World Series is going on.
Right now?
Yeah, 12-year-olds. So that's on prime time. You can get that at like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock on ESPN. The 12-year-olds are playing. They're playing their way to
Williamsport,
right, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And that's the Little League World Series where all the other teams come from around the world. And we see who the winner is. So for Connor's Travel League, his World Series, it was in Cooperstown.
Okay.
So that's why we went to Cooperstown. And out of 86 teams, Connor's team came in eighth place. They came in eighth. And then after that, there was another team from Miami that called us up and asked Connor, invited Connor to play with them. They were going to Mississippi. And they invited Connor to be on their team going into Mississippi. So we did Cooperstown in June. We did Mississippi in July. And it's where Connor was on the mound that he was pitching, and his arm popped on the fifth batter. That's when he knew he had a problem. And, you know, so where he couldn't even grab the bat. So he couldn't play for like the first four games. He was just out, being upset.
Yeah. It's tough to be out, isn't it?
But I'll tell you, the patience that he had, just the quietness. He, you know, he wasn't moping, and he wasn't. He was just, you know, the peace of the Lord, just, you know, and his patience. And he got into a game in the fifth game. The coach told us, listen, you know, Connor can't play. If you guys want to leave, you know, you feel more than welcome to go. And Connor said, listen, I would like to hit. I think I can hit. So the coach puts him in to hit, and he hits 200-300-foot bombs up against the fence.
Wow.
You know, God is good, right?
Wow,
God is good. And then he could hit the next game, and you know, after we left, after the week was over, the coach said, you know, we'd like to be calling you some more. You know, to get Connor involved with us. So, you know, so that was, you know, that was nice.
Open doors,
you know, yeah, the Lord opens the doors.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so they're in Miami. They're an hour away. Connor likes the team. Connor enjoys them, you know. So it was a great experience. And we had a great experience with God in Mississippi. So that was awesome, you know.
Tell us about it.
Well, one of the places that we went to, and you know, unfortunately I left my phone in the car because I was a little behind schedule and I just ran in here. But one of the places that we went to was a restaurant in Mississippi. It was a local spot. And, you know, we just Googled for a restaurant around the fields, and it was about 15 minutes away. And it was the theme of the restaurant is three things. It's Jesus, America, and bulldogs, English bulldogs.
But they promote these three things?
Well, they're posted all over the place.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Jesus, themed.
Themed, yeah. Yeah. Well, my wife went into the bathroom. She goes, oh, I love this place even more because there was bulldog pictures all over the bathroom. So, yeah. So the waitress was just, I mean, every one of the people in the restaurant was a believer.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wow.
Every one of the people in the restaurant was a believer, and there was so much joy in this restaurant. The food was so good. Wow. I mean, yeah, and then I took a picture of the place just because of the character. You know, it had all the Coca-Cola signs from the 50s and you know, all the old-time stuff from the 50s, and it just had so much character and personality, and the food was awesome. Mm. The service was excellent. I mean, it was a delight. It was just pure joy.
Wow.
You know, remember that? Remember the restaurant, Big Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Your mother enjoyed it, right? And how was the waitress? The waitress was awesome, right?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. So, and yeah, as a matter of fact, I went up to pay the bill, and we prayed. All the waitresses got together at the register, and we prayed. Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
awesome.
Cool.
It was awesome, yeah.
So, you know, Christians are standing up. Christians in business are standing up with their witness. I mean, what a great place. I wish we had a restaurant like that around here.
You know?
We would definitely be supporting that. And, if the food's good and the service is great and the presence of the Lord is there, it means there's a lot of peace. And even unbelievers, I mean, they're just searching for that. So that's awesome. So you definitely had some God encounters on the trip out there.
We did. On the trip, we definitely had a God encounter on the way home. That was on the way home. So I'm stopping to get gas.
Right.
And when we're driving, this was from Cooperstown.
Okay.
This was from Cooperstown when I had this experience, and I believe it was with an angel. I'm just telling you, I believe it was with an angel. And we're driving the RV, and we had problems with the RV. So I needed gas. We pull up into this. We were taking the back roads. We took the back roads, some of the back roads, and we pull up into this old gas station where the cement only comes up, you know, two doors, and then the rest of it is dirt, and the ice machine is over on the side.
Wow.
You know, and it's all dirt.
It's like in the movies.
And it's like in the movies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's all, you know, you pull into dirt, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not right. It's dirt. And there's a homeless guy standing right there, right in front of me. And I just look at him, and I took notice of him, and I didn't, you know, okay. I get out, and the RV is 30 feet long, so I got to come to the back end of the RV. I got to pull the RV up in the gas tanks all the way in the back, so I got to judge that. So
right.
I come out the side of the door, I come out the side of the RV, go to the back to gas up. And the next thing I know, as I'm gassing up the RV, the guy's standing right there. And he asked me a question. He goes, are you a retired vet? Did you just retire from the military? And I said, no, I didn't retire from the military. I said, I served in the military a few years ago. I served 4 years. And he goes, okay, thank you so much for your service. And then he asked me for $1.50 for a bus ride to get to where he's going to get some food. I said, well, okay, you sure you're not going to use it for beer or, you know, or drugs or anything? And then he starts defending that he's not a drinker, and he goes, I'm so blessed to be alive and to be standing here. So I said, oh, you know Jesus? And he goes, of course I know Jesus. Of course I know Jesus. I know Jesus. So he starts going into all of this, and I'm like, all right, we start talking about the Lord. And I am telling you, it was amazing. And then the Lord put it on my heart. I said, can I pray for you? He goes, of course. So I start praying for him. He goes, when you're finished, he goes, I want to pray for you. I was praying for him. And I'm telling you, as I was praying for him, I felt the presence of the Lord.
Wow.
Just really. Mm. And then he started praying for me. And this is Connor and his mother. We're up in the store, in the little gas station pumps. So this is all going on, just the two of us. And he starts praying for me, and I am telling you, the blessings that were just, you know, the chills just coming down.
The anointing
just coming down.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It was amazing, all right? So I'm like, okay. So I give him some money, and I'm like, okay, here you go. You know, he goes, oh, thank you so much. Then I don't even know why this happened, but we go into, he starts talking about his sneakers, his shoes. He goes, oh, man. He goes, I'm starting to get holes in my sneakers. Mm. Starting to get holes in your sneakers. Mm. I said, he pulls his feet up. He goes like this, you know? Yeah. Because it was all flat rubber now, you know? It's right. Getting ready to make holes. And then he goes, okay. I said, what size shoes are you? He goes, I'm an 11. I said, would a 10 and a half work? I just happened, now this is in the morning before we left from where we camped out the night before.
Right.
And I just happened to put a pair of sneakers in the side of the RV in one of the storage containers. All right.
Right.
Which I would never do out of, you know, I just, everything's inside.
Right.
All the supplies are on the outside of the RV. All the, you know, luggage and stuff like this. Sure. I just happened to put a pair of sneakers on the outside of the RV, and these were new sneakers. They were bright green. I loved them.
You got a no key.
They were bright green. I loved them. So I put them on there. I put them in there, and I just happened to say, with 10 and a half, you know, because he's an 11. I said, would 10 and a half work? Yeah, that'll work. Lo and behold, they're right there. I pull them out. I give him the sneakers. Brand new treads on the sneakers, right? He goes, right. Oh, thank you, son. Thank you. I'm telling you, in the blink of an eye, he was gone. In the blink of an eye, he was gone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you talk about God's provision, right?
Yeah.
You talk about God providing and the presence of the Lord. Everything just, you know, it's all controlled by God.
That's awesome.
Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
You know?
All right, so Keith, you know, you brought in a couple guys that are young men, and they're followers of Christ, you know, and they're witnesses out there, and they're involved in sports, involved in school and different things. So, you know, it's great to be able to bring on air today some Christian witness. And so in the schools, God is raising up gifted individuals that are going to be seen. He's going to put the light on you so people can see you, and you're going to be able to have a witness, which is awesome. And so, Jack, let's jump to you for a moment. Tell us some of your God story. How did you end up coming to Christ, and what's your story?
So I've always been like a person who believed that there was a God and there was a Jesus. I've always I would always go to church on Sunday with my dad, but I would never truly like be there. Like I would be there in person, but I wouldn't truly be there. Like I wouldn't be giving my heart to it. Anyway, I do that for my whole life, and I stop once I get to like 12 or 13. I just stop going to church. I don't really pray. I stop. I just leave it all. It's like, it's not that I don't believe. It's just, I don't really care. If that's the right word to say. Yep. It's just like, I kept telling myself, I'll do it when I'm older. Mm. And that's the main excuse I think a lot of people have, is like, I'll find a reason to come to God when I'm older, when in reality, you have no control when he's going to come into your life and bless you. And it came to me when I least expected it, at my lowest point. So as a baseball player, obviously something that you don't want to have to deal with is not being able to play.
Mm.
I had the time where I didn't get to play for extended amount of time. So in March of 2022, I swung at a slider in the dirt. And when I swung at it, I felt a pop in my left shoulder. Mm. And I felt it, and it was like, it hurt, but I was just like, whatever. The next day I went, I couldn't swing the bat. So I was like, okay, something's wrong. I went and got it checked out. I had different things going on in my shoulder and stuff. It was like a sprained deltoid and all that, to the point where I couldn't swing. So that was my sophomore summer going into my junior year, which is one of the bigger recruiting summers for people who want to play college baseball, is that junior year, that sophomore summer going into junior year. So I was out for that summer training. I was kind of like, okay, I'll be back, whatever. I finally am back good, back in August. My shoulder's completely good. I'm ready to go. I start training, and I start playing with this program called Elevate in Delray Beach, Florida, which has some of the best ball players like around. They got a lot of international kids, a lot of guys signing at 16.
Mm.
And it's like, they've got a really like good program there. And I had the opportunity my first day there. I got to catch a kid from Mexico who's playing with the Mariners now, I believe. He was mid-90s there, and he I'm catching him, and we are playing a game around 8 a.m., 9 a.m. in the morning, and it starts downpouring rain. And I'm like, all right. It was my first game back. It was like I felt okay behind the plate. This was after months of rehab and everything. I finally get in, starts raining. I go, okay, games are done for the day. Later that night, we get a text around 4 o'clock. Hey, be at the field at 6. We're playing. So I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So I end up going back to the field, do everything I'm supposed to do. But I took a little bit off the stretching. And from there through later that night, my arm tightened up completely. I was like, what happened? The next day, I couldn't throw across this room. I couldn't throw. It was the worst pain I ever felt in my shoulder. Mm. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. It was like, what is going on? I've been putting so much work into baseball my whole life, and this just keeps happening, and I was feeling sorry for myself. So I kind of got into the mindset of, okay, maybe I'll just finish high school baseball and be done with it all, right? Anyways, we're trying everything. Like, my dad, he's super helpful in my baseball world, so he's trying everything. He's, like, getting all these different guys that we know who can rehab, and nothing's working. And I end up saying to him, Dad, like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to throw again. Like, I think, like, this is going to be
it. That bad?
Like, yeah, it was just like, I couldn't throw. It was like the pain had started going away, but it was just the strength was gone. Everything was gone. My dad reaches out to one last guy. This guy's name is Bill Shop, who is, I hold him in such high praise. He's such a great guy. And he's a believer as well. Mm. So I go and work with him in Jupiter one day. And, you know, we throw 20 feet, 30 feet. It was painful. And I felt pretty discouraged. I was just like, what am I doing? And after we're done, we pack up, we go to the car. He goes, Jack, I would like to pray over you. I was like, okay. I didn't know the power of prayer. I didn't know the power of healing that the Lord can do.
Oh,
I
was just
all right, you're doing this.
So you didn't know that he was a believer before you went to him, right? Or you did?
No, I didn't.
You did?
No.
Yeah, so that's no coincidences with the Lord.
Yeah, so I'm there, and I've known him for so long. Like, I played on a travel team. Like, I always coached them. And so, like, I had a good relationship with him. But I was never aware he was a believer. And he goes, Jack, I want to pray over you. So I go, okay. My dad puts his hand on my shoulder, and Bill puts his arm on my left shoulder. And we're in a huddle kind of praying. And I swear I felt the Holy Spirit right as he started praying enter into that space. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, that was like a feeling that I never understood. It was just the goosebumps, just like the safetiness. I felt like someone bigger than man was watching over me. And I was just like, okay. And he says to me, and he goes, listen, Jack, I'll keep working with you, but I have church every Sunday. Sunday was our day to work. So he's like, you'll have to come up after church. And my dad goes, we'll come to church with you. I was just like, okay.
Sure. You're ready now.
Not even at the point. I was just like, well, I was like, I didn't understand what the feeling was yet. I was just like, okay, whatever.
So whatever. We'll go to church. So whatever.
I'll learn some good stuff. And it was like, I believed. I'm not saying I was never not a believer. I was just like, not exactly 100% interested in it. So I started going to Calvary Jupiter, and I start going there, and I start like, okay, the music's good. Okay. First week goes by, second week goes by. Okay, I like the music a lot. Third week goes by, and I start hearing the pastor saying stuff, and it just starts clicking in my head. And then I started coming down to Calvary Boca and stuff when I couldn't go up to Jupiter, because it started being like, okay, every 2 weeks. And then within 2 months of that, I was 100% throwing as far as I wanted, as hard as I've ever thrown in my life. I said, that was Jesus. I was in that moment. I was like, okay, this was Jesus. So I ended up making an altar walk last Easter, giving my life to Christ. And then last August, I got baptized. And from there on, it's just been like the big misconception, I think, is people think it's going to be an easy life when the world hates Jesus so much.
Right.
And you want to love him so much, but the world is so down on him. You see it in every day. Yeah. For example, the Olympics, you see people putting it down there. Yeah. You see all this chaos in the world. It's just like, as soon as people bring Jesus into something, it just, people get so angry at the fact of it. And it's because it's the truth. People hate the truth more than anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus even said, the world hated me, they're going to hate you if you're a believer in me. So from there, it's just, that's my testimony. It's like, the Lord came to me when I did not expect him to come into my life whatsoever, and he restored something in me that I did not expect I needed restoring. I was just like, my shoulder for baseball. You hear stories of people who, like, you know, their illness gets healed or this and that. And it's just like these huge stories, when in reality, it's like a testimony can be something small like that, like a shoulder is nothing compared to what other people have gone through. But it really, for me, in the grand scheme of things, was something so special. It was just like, the Lord truly is like good. He's so just and he's so like merciful to us. And he shows us that again and again. And he's just constantly blessing people each and every day. So through that experience, I was just like, Jesus is something I need to follow for the rest of my life, something I need to be a part of. I need to have a relationship with him. I can't sit here and be like, oh, thanks, bye. Like, help me. Now I'm giving my life to you. And it's such a, it's a role. The big misconception for people listening is that if you're not, if you're confused on whether you want to be a believer or not, or if you like think it's going to be an easy life, it's not going to be easy. People are truly going to either look down on you or you're going to have spiritual warfare with yourself. And the truth is that, you know, we're never going to be perfect like Jesus was, but we need to stick true to the word of God and understand that he loves us no matter what we do.
Amen.
And ask for his forgiveness and ask for him to enter into your life, and he will truly bless you in so many ways. And I got to experience it. So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
And you're going to get, have the opportunity to put your hand on somebody else's shoulder.
Amen.
Because God's going to open that door for you.
Yeah.
Keith, you've got something there. You got the word open. I'm like,
well, this is for this. Yeah, the Lord put something on my heart. But as far as Jack was talking, right in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, God knows that God knows that our hearts, God knows our hearts, right? Psalm 145, he will fulfill the desires of our heart, right?
Yeah.
Just come to the Lord first. He's our Father. So, and that's also for something for later with somebody on Connor's team, but... Connor just got baptized a couple of months ago.
Tell us about it, Connor.
So, in the beginning of the week, my dad told me that there was a baptism going on at Journey Church.
Okay.
And now I've tried to get baptized a couple times, but then they moved places or it got canceled because of something going on in the church. But this time it worked out.
Or you had to go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, something came up, right?
But what was it? It was a day off on a Monday.
It was an evening.
Yeah.
It was an evening. Yeah, an evening baptism.
So they give me a shirt. I go change in the bathroom. It says like, I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Yeah. So then after the songs go on, I go up to the stage.
Right.
And then... They make us tell them about ourselves, and then after that, we go outside where everybody's watching, and then there's like this small pool.
Baptism pool. Yeah.
It's like as wide as this table, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I get in there. Water's pretty warm, and then the preacher or the pastor says, "Do you accept Jesus into your life?" And then I said, "Yes." I go under the water. Something just hit me, man. Something hit me.
Yep.
Yep.
God hit you.
Yeah.
God hit you.
Yeah. Almost felt like I didn't want to go back up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
And then come back up. Everything's blurry. Water in my eye. Then they take your picture. Get out. Towel. It's just amazing. It's truly amazing.
So you had a God encounter right there as you went into the water. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What a great testimony. Great testimony. You're how old now?
I'm 12.
You're 12?
Yes.
So when was your time when you said a big yes to God?
I'd say when I was 11.
Okay.
It was about 7 o'clock. I was just in my room doing nothing. Just, I don't know. I was just out of it. And then all of a sudden, I just feel something go through my back. And then I get a whiteboard, and then I just start writing down everything I want to do in my life. And now I've just been sticking to that, or I've been trying to do my best. Nobody's perfect. It's crazy. It's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude.
So can you tell us any of the things you put on the board?
So I put my life goals in baseball.
Okay.
I told myself goals about school.
Yeah.
Trying to get all A's every year of my life.
Yeah.
Trying to get a... diploma, everything. And then I go into baseball. I try to be one of the best players that's ever going to live.
Excellent. And how does your faith work into that?
Just that, you know, with Jesus, you can do anything.
Amen.
You know, anything's possible.
And do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's awesome. That's awesome. Wow.
So when they were in Cooperstown, the 12-year-old boys were in these barracks for the first time without their parents. So you got 12 kids with two coaches in the room, right, to try and maintain order.
Right.
But after that session was over, I, you know, some of the coaches were, the one of the coaches was like, but I got a text from the head coach that he's never seen anybody like Connor, and he wishes that every kid was behaving like him.
Wow.
And he said, he goes, you know, Connor is Connor, you know, and he's unique, and we know that he's blessed by the Lord. But the peace that he had and the example that he sets is, we know it's definitely from God. And,
that's
the, and yeah, the coach just complimented him. You know, it just touched my heart.
That is awesome.
Touched my heart. So his mom is proud.
Now I'm hoping you all are going to stick around a bit because we're going to go to a song, and I'm going to bring on Air John Nelson, who is someone that you know, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
And
Brother John.
Brother John. Yeah, he's probably listening right now,
Brother
saying,
John,
make that call, make that call. So we're going to give him a call, and he's going to come on and tell us a little bit about what's happening in the field of God's miracles in families, because John's one of our key guys. And then we're going to come back, and before we finish up today, you know, we'll let you guys interact a little more and just see what God has to say. So, all right, we got to go to the song. We'll be right back. Again, you're listening to Wednesday Live, 89.9 WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And blessed today to have Keith with us and have his son Connor, and also Jack is with us. And this is awesome. God is raising up some mighty warriors to go out there and maybe be playing some serious baseball for the glory of God, right?
For the
glory
of God.
Amen. All right. This song's entitled The Blessing. Probably won't listen to all of it. It's a little long, but we'll be coming back in just a few moments. Stay tuned. right. Of course, that song is entitled The Blessing, and that is exactly what God does when he comes into our lives and comes into our families. And he always has a plan to break the chains of the enemy and set us free. And so we've had Keith Masters with us. He's one of our regular programs that's on air here at WCNO. And I know many of you have shared how much you receive from his ministry and witness. But his son Connor's with us in the studio today, and also we have Jack with us today. And right now, I believe I'm going to be able to connect with John Nelson, Families Recover. John, are you out there somewhere?
Hey guys, Keith Masters, my old friend.
Brother John, how are you?
You know, beyond words.
It's good to hear you.
You know, I want people to know that are listening to WCNO right now, I think that we're coming up on year four impact partner as far as advertising. In this last 30 days, we've probably received more phone calls for help from people in the grips of addiction than facing suicide or, you know, some pretty big turmoil in their life. So it's like, you know, it's a really cool thing to see that people are actually using the radio for a outlet to be able to find hope.
Praise God.
And, you know, WCNO has a pretty big listener base. And as far as I heard you guys all the way across, halfway across 60 on Friday. My daughter closed on a house in Tampa. And then I was to pick it back up as soon as I came back halfway across 60 on Saturday.
That's awesome.
So that's a pretty big distance, you know, when you're talking countywide. I've heard you all the way down to Fort Lauderdale. And, it's exciting stuff to be involved with a Christian radio station that actually pulls no punches and allows us to talk about the things that are really going on in the world.
Well, it's awesome to have you as a part of our family, John, and thank you for giving that report. We had a few days of, a little bit of inconsistency with our signal, not because of our equipment, but because out at the tower, the space that we rent, there were other partners out there that were running some new coaxial and such forth. But to our family, thank you for spreading the word. Let people know, even down in Miami, we have a number of people that listen.
You know, we got a call from a gentleman in Deerfield Beach, and we were able to place his brother in Cincinnati in a treatment center here locally. And, you know, he was hearing you guys all the way down in Deerfield Beach.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, John, what's happening? I know you have some things coming up.
Families Recover is on the move. We're actually looking for some crowdfunding people to start moving us more into a fundraising entity. As everybody knows in this town, I've been a contractor and a single family man for 22 years almost. And now that the kids are grown and my son's taking over the contracting business, kind of, it's going to give me a lot more time to focus on the things that I think God's really called me to do. You know my story, you know my arrest record, you know my drug stuff. We know what happened with my wife 5 years ago, died from this disease. You know, the addiction is alive and well, and fentanyl now, right now in the United States, is the number one killer of people from 23 years old to 45 years old. That's a statistic that cannot be. Nothing else is killing more people than drug addiction.
Wow.
And, you know, with the resources that we have and with what we have as far as being able to get people the help they need, you know, we need more God.
That's what we need.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can go to a detox center until we're blue in the face or until the insurance says no more. But, you know, even in, you know, I'm a big AA guy, and I'm going to give a plug for AA. You know, I just picked up this is my anniversary month, and I really started looking back at things. And even in that program, which was actually out of the Bible, it doesn't scare people away with the God sense that chooses you to have a higher power. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know anyone that stayed in sobriety long. They really didn't start building that spiritual connection with Jesus Christ. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I haven't met anybody, actually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just tells me that we can get the people sober, but we got to get them into the Spirit of God and doing the things that he's called us to do.
Got to get them in the kingdom.
We got a big event coming up. We're doing 200 kids this year down at Miami Heat Stadium. And it's our 11th year with the Miami Heat, taking kids down at Christmas. And we're going to be raising a boatload of money for that through a bunch of different people. our golf tournament, we've made a decision corporately that it's not really a great event to raise money for us. It's a great PR event, but it's just not bringing the money in. Mm. We just celebrated another young lady. We found another one-owner car, 2010 Ford Fusion, 80,000 miles from Affordable Auto up in Fort Pierce. What a great group of people. They listen to the radio station also. We were able to get that car for $3,000, and this mom is who get her kids back. She's over a year sober, and we were able to give her a car. So that's the second car in 30 days that we've been able to gift to women that are getting their families back together from the throes of drug addiction. You know, so all praise goes to God that we're in the position. You know, we're not endless funded either. We need to raise money.
All right.
You know, it takes money to do these things, but, you know, God put it on my heart that this girl has really worked hard. She's the one that called the radio station. Teresa was actually in the radio station with us. And she's got one more hoop to jump through to get her license legal. That's going to happen this weekend. And boom, right in time to take her kids to high school.
That's awesome. That's
so
awesome.
How cool is that?
That is really great.
That is really great. You know, we just love the fact that your radio station, our radio station, WCNO, Keith Masters, there's so many people that are involved in praying for this radio station, and we know that Share-a-thon's coming up, and even though I want you to write me a check, we need this radio station. So people need to really open up their hearts and checkbooks. You know, it's 10% of, you're a pastor, 10% of the church donates.
Right.
If we could get everybody to donate $10, you guys would never have a problem funding that radio station.
Yeah, that's right. It'd be done.
And we're talking $10 times 7 million people that are listening.
Right.
You can't even go to McDonald's for $10.
Really?
Right.
So, I mean, that's just a plug for the fact that, you know, if we don't have the Word of God, especially a radio station that isn't syndicated, that's allowed to talk the truth about the things that are coming up, like Amendment 4,
yep.
or like what they're doing with the transgender and the woke movement, and what churches in our community aren't talking the truth because they're afraid that the donation bucket will go flat. You know, I probably could raise a lot more money for familiesrecovery.org if I sold my soul. And I'm going to tell you, those days I get up super early, people. You know, 4 o'clock, I'm sitting in my chair. And it's like, you know, you think God would forgive me if I sold my soul? And I can save that many more people? Well, we know that's ridiculous.
Yep.
Of course, you know, you don't want me selling my soul because that's not trusting him.
Right.
So we're trusting him for some really big fundraising there a couple months. I never, you know, I quit, and I want people listening right now, 39 arrests, drug addiction, prison, homelessness. Today I'm a homeowner. My daughter has bought a house. My nephew in sobriety bought a house. And my other daughter told me Thursday that I'm going to be a grandfather.
Mm,
all of this happened after I got sober.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. See, all of these blessings come if you're patient enough and to keep that stuff out of your life. And, it, you know, it's a sin's a sin. It doesn't matter what I did. But, you know, I talked to a lot of people, and they're like, I just don't know if my wife can come back together. Well, we've got two girls that were sex trafficked right now, driving cars. Well, one will be driving next week. Two that have cars that God blessed them with just because they got their life together.
Mm.
You know, it's not over. You know, I don't know how Job felt when everything was taken away from him. I've had those days.
Yeah. Right.
I think everyone's had those days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just really, I don't watch none of the news, especially now, because it's just so far out there with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I just got to trust the Lord that everything that's going on is going on, and he's going to allow it. And I'm not going to let that steal no more days from me.
Amen.
My addiction stole enough time.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening out there and you need help, you can call me 772-285-5828. I will find you treatment. I will come pick you up and take you to treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just there's people out there that are afraid to ask.
Give that number again, John. Give it a little slower.
Are you ready? You know I'm ADD. 772-285-5828. You know, we have resources, and it's not that I know everybody, but, you know, when you come into a circle of people that you know in the treatment centers and the right ones to send them to that aren't going to over-medicate them, you know, you got to vet people as well. I just had to turn somebody away that was really just playing me. And thank God I know the streets a little too well.
Mm.
And that's sad, too, because that person still isn't out of the game. So, I mean, if you're sitting over there right now and you're about to drink a bottle of vodka or you got a bag of cocaine in your hand, give me a buzz. There is a way out. I'm proof. That's awesome. Living proof that it works.
Ditto.
Amen.
John, I was just made aware of some young people. You know, some are in the military, and the culture there really makes it real common to drink.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's part of hanging out is drinking. And you know, they come back, they have other friends that you know, they knew, and I'm like, what would you say to someone, they've never had their first drink, what would you say to them?
Don't take it.
Don't start.
Mm-hmm. Don't start.
Yeah.
You know, this is one thing that we talk, I go to a meeting, it's a lot of young kids that are in treatment, a lot of them only have under 90 days, you know, there'll be 15 people in a room of 60 under 90 days, and I say it all the time, and I'm not the only one that says these words, and you guys know a little bit about getting sober and staying sober, you have to change the people you hang around with.
It's true.
That's a must. I don't go, now don't get me wrong, years later I'll go to Duffy's to have food, but I don't sit at the bar and look at the vodka bottles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, everything, and a lot of people come in and get scared because it's like, oh, I got to change everything. No, but look at the people you're hanging out with and look where they're headed.
Yeah.
Look at your behavior at payday when you're wherever you're at whatever that strip joint is, and your whole check's gone and the kids don't have diapers.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you haven't taken that drink, then you're probably, and especially if you're in the military, you're over 18 years old. I don't drink because I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I don't hang around people. Now, I have people in my family and in my personal life that are drinkers, but I don't hang around people that abuse drugs and alcohol. And there is a difference between having a drink and abusing it. And everybody's wise enough to know that. And anyone that never has done any of these drugs that are out there, Molly and cocaine and heroin and fentanyl, let me tell you something. You can be hooked on heroin, and it's one of the things they used on trafficked people to get them into the sex trades. Within one or two shots of heroin, your body's physically addicted, and you will get sick. And then you will beg them for more. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of education out there that people are like, it ain't going to be me. Okay. Okay. Maybe it's not. But maybe Eve thought she shouldn't hate that apple.
Yeah, you know? Right.
It's just, I'm not going to touch something. If I'm allergic to peanuts, and we hear this in AA all the time, I'm not going to eat a peanut because I know what's going to happen. Let's say I have a seafood addiction. We can make it real easy for the people out there that don't understand what I'm talking about. You eat a shrimp, and what's going to happen? You may die.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing with drugs and alcohol. Now, alcohol takes a long time. But I can tell you something right now. 345 people died yesterday to overdose. And that's no joke. And mm-hmm. I wonder how many, and they'll never tell us, they will never tell us, how many of those people only used once or twice?
Yeah.
But they got that little mix of fentanyl. Because on the streets, and you know I'm street level, these people want fentanyl. They don't even want heroin. They want fentanyl. So, I mean, you're playing Russian roulette, and if you haven't stopped, and get back to your question, if you haven't, don't. You don't have to drink to have a good time. I prove it all the time. Right. We take people to stadium events all the time. Once you're away from that behavior, which you have to change the behavior with a healthy behavior. And that's work. You know, sometimes you peer pressure is tough. Listen, you guys know as well as I do. The stuff that's on our TVs, the crap that's going on in our schools, the stuff that goes on cartoons, dude, they're pushing you to try that stuff.
They are. They are.
It's not going to happen to you.
Yeah. It's the lie. It's the lie. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's provocative.
John, give us your number again. I believe somebody's listening today that may need to take a number for a son, a daughter, a brother, sister, mom, dad, neighbor next door. Yeah, or maybe for themselves.
That's right, 772-285-5828.
John, it's always good to have you with us on air. And,
I love you guys.
We love you. Thank you for calling in, keeping
Keith,
us posted.
I love you. I miss you.
Love you too, John. Miss you too. Yeah, we'll see you soon.
You guys have a great afternoon.
You too, man. God
Thanks,
bless.
John. Blessings. Talk to you soon. God bless. Bye.
That was good to hear from John.
That's our buddy John.
Yeah.
Well, it's he has a heart to see people free. Man. And You know, some people go, wow, you know, my testimony's not about all this stuff I was delivered from. Well, that's a powerful testimony. You don't have to go there to have a powerful testimony.
That's right.
So it is a powerful testimony that God delivers us from all the things that we can get into. And Keith, you talk about the chains, right?
Amen.
But well, I believe it's more powerful to say the power of God kept me from ever getting there.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't think that's a small testimony. That's a huge testimony.
That is a huge testimony.
Huge testimony.
You know, and here we have Connor at 12 years old.
12 years old.
12 years old, not to start.
Making a decision, I'm going to live clean.
Right.
I'm going to have clean air. I'm going to have a clean head. I'm going to have a clean mouth.
Right.
I'm going to
live for God.
I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to get caught up in all kinds of sex and stuff. I'm going to keep my body for someone that God's going to bring into my life. And we're living in a world where in the church it's like anything and everything goes. But that's not the body of Christ.
It's not the body
and that's
of Christ.
Not the life of freedom. That's a life of that leads, you know, there's all these doors. So you open one door and then had a buddy of mine that had a lot of years. He didn't know which end was up. And he talks about, you know, it started with cigarettes.
Right.
You know, he said that was just a door.
Right.
But then with that, it was like, okay, well, you know, I'll drink a little. You know, I can control it. And then it went to drugs, and, you know, and then it just went down. And he went down for a lot of years. Thank God he's back. You know, he's serving God, and God set him free. Listen, you don't have to go there. But if you are there, know that if you're hearing today, if you're breathing today, it's not too late to come back to God. Keith, give us what's on your heart. Going to ask you to kind of pray over, you know, share a little bit here and close us out with prayer today.
Yeah, it's just amazing how, you know, God is everywhere.
Yeah.
God is everywhere. It's all God's. And I'm so blessed to meet Jack and for, you know,
Connor. Here is witness, strong, you know, both of them, strong witnesses.
And, you know, we would go to the cages with when we were going to practice to go to the cages. Is Jack going to be there? Is Jack going to be there?
Yeah.
You know, so,
That's
you
awesome.
Know, big man likes, you know, to watch him and to get something from him and, you know, just because he's older and more experienced. And so it's just how God works. And it's just such a blessing. Also, you know, as I've been busy with my son in baseball, and that's where the Lord is leading me in this season, we've had one of the guys on the team, one of the boys on the team, was asking me for prayer. And this is where, you know, God is putting you someplace for a specific reason.
Always.
So don't ever doubt where you're at, because God has you there for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's a lesson learned for myself. But I always go back to the one Psalm 145. He will fulfill the desires of your heart. And the Lord had me one day because one of the boys was asking me to pray for him. He was in a little bit of a slump, and he was asking for prayer. I've also prayed for the team. The team asked me to pray for them. So it's been such
it's
a
awesome.
Blessing,
it's awesome.
You know, going over there. And one of the players, the Lord put it on my heart where I wrote out, the Spirit led me to put out, seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I put that on top of the paper. Then I put in Psalm 145, he will fulfill the desires of your heart. Then there was a song that the Holy Spirit had me play or had me put down for him to listen to. And I got a picture back. They sent me a photo. He has it on his desk. He keeps this on his desk. In his room, seeking first the kingdom of
That's
God.
Awesome.
And I gave
That's
him
awesome.
A Bible, and he has the Bible right there on top of his
Excellent.
Desk. And his mother sends a text back to my wife, what have we created here? We've created a child of God, right?
That's awesome. So, That's
and
awesome.
Connor as an example for the teammate.
Yep.
You know?
Every cool. just, People you are know, looking at you. They're looking
the
at your life.
It's the ripple effect.
Even
it's
those who are attacking
effect.
You,
Amen.
They are looking. They could not ignore who you are in God.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what they're saying, what they're doing. That means you're a billboard for Christ, and God is using you. And sometimes you get to use words, but with your life, you always get to show off for God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
Always get to do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to close us in prayer. We're not quite there yet,
okay.
And I need to bring one more thing in. And I need to let all of you know that we on the Treasure Coast of Florida stand with God's covenant people, and that's the land of Israel and the Jewish people. We know that our Messiah came to us through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we stand with Israel today. We pray for the salvation of the Jewish people as well as the salvation of their nation. We also pray for Ishmael's seed as well. Everyone needs to come to Christ, but right now there's war going on and there's a mess. And on the Treasure Coast of Florida, there's going to be a very special event. You're going to want to write this down. It's called I Will Stand With Israel. I Will Stand With Israel. And two very well-known guests are going to be with us, as well as several others. Jonathan Kahn has a new book that's coming out. That book will have just been out. This is September the 26th. Jonathan Kahn is coming back to the Treasure Coast. And Paul Wilbur, who is a messianic psalmist. He is known all over the world. He is greatly anointed. He is also going to be there as well. And we may end up with some other guests. We may end up with a Holocaust survivor that may share some of her story. We may end up with Raleigh Washington, who was a part of Promise Keepers. Very possible that he may be able to come. This is coming up in September. It's going to be a big event. And you can go on our website right here at WCNO, go up to the top, Jonathan Kahn, Paul Wilbur, click on that link. That'll take you over and show you how you can make a donation and get some tickets. So keep that in mind. Keith, back to you.
Oh, go ahead, Jack. How about you?
Jack?
What's going on? Yeah. You're heading out to UCF now?
No, I'm heading out to Eastern Florida State to play baseball. Yeah.
Okay. So you are? Okay.
I am, yeah. So I leave this Friday, and it's like 55 minutes from UCF. So it's in the city of Melbourne. So it's not that far from here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a JUCO. And the reason I picked that, the Lord led me to that, is just like junior college baseball in Florida is so high level. And it's such, people don't understand. They hear JUCO and they think, oh, small school, maybe not as good as a D1 guy. But in reality, a lot of these D1 guys that are true freshmen coming out of high school, when they get to these D1 schools, they're going to be competing with kids who are 22, 23 with hundreds of at-bats, hundreds of innings of experience, whereas kids coming into JUCO, some are either D1 transfers who were a freshman in high school, got redshirted their first year, and then went JUCO, or kids coming out of high school going to that scenario. And I think it's just a great way to, like, go to that next step rather than just jump into the big school scene. Like the JUCO scene's really good, so I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it.
So this is where the Lord has opened the door for you, and you don't know what He's going to do. So we just got lift Him up in prayer,
and others that are going to be standing,
and we'll see where the Lord leads you.
Yep, amen.
You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
don't forget us down here. You know, you bring you back on air by phone. You know, you can call in. We'll connect with you, get an update, and get one of our cards when you head out, and stay in touch with us.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'd like to do that. And big guy over here, Mr. Connor, what are you looking for this year in school?
I'm looking forward to seeing my friends. A lot of new teachers this year.
Okay. Mm.
I had an argument with my Bible teacher about something.
And?
She didn't believe in most of the end times.
Yeah.
She didn't believe about the rapture, the signs, or anything about that.
Ah, so you took a stand there.
So I wrote about 3 pages of notes on the Book of Revelation.
Good.
And I sent it to her teacher box on the last day of school.
That's awesome. All right. So
that's not being led by the Spirit.
That's some wisdom there. Are you going to have the same teacher again?
No, she's leaving.
Well, yeah, we can.